1 Samuel chapter 17. This evening we're looking at this story, one of the most famous stories in the whole Bible, the story of David and Goliath. David and Goliath. And as we look at this, one of the things I want us to focus on tonight is this. I don't want us to focus on the story itself as much as we're going to focus on the principles we can learn from the story. There are principles we can learn from the story. David faced a gigantic giant. Big giant. Now, most of the Hebrew boys in those days, or young men, were not as, even as tall as I am. They were shorter than I am. And to face a giant that would have been almost as tall as the ceiling was a gigantic thing. When you think about it, you see somebody standing up that big and you're down here. Whew, that's why everybody was terrified when they saw Goliath. And so it was a major thing for him. He faced a huge giant. And you know, in our lives, we face huge giants as well. Every one of us face huge giants. Now, it's not the giants of people like Goliath, but giants of all sorts in our lives. In every area of our life, we face giants that are too hard for us and too powerful for us to defeat. We're going to learn about principles that can help us in defeating our giants. Now, tonight as we work through this, I want each of you to think about this. What are some giants in your life that you're having a hard time defeating? Maybe temptations, maybe some habits, maybe some thoughts that you're struggling with, maybe some tasks that you know you're supposed to do, like reading the Bible, and you say, this is a giant, I'm having a hard time with this, I can't get to read my Bible every day. Now, whatever the giant is that you face in your life where you say, I am struggling with that giant. You pay close attention, you will find ways that you can get the victory and be victorious in your Christian life. Number one, I want us to notice the giant described. Verses 1 to 11 describes the giant. And we're not going to take the time to read every word of this, but notice something first of all in verse number 1. It says, now the Philistines gathered together their armies to battle and were gathered together in Shechem, which is belongs to Judah, and pitched between Shechem and Azekah in Ephraim Damis. And Saul and his men of Israel gathered together and pitched in the valley of Elah and set the battle in array against the Philistines. All right, so they pitched in the valley of Elah. Now, let me just show you on the map here so you can get a kind of an idea of where we're talking about here. All right, now, notice with me again. Here's Bethlehem. That's where David lived. And the battle was about 25 kilometers over that way. So you look on this thing about that far. So it's about over here. So the battle's right over in here near the Philistines. This is the Philistines area here. So he's over here all halfway to the Philistine land. And they're in the valley of Elah. There's mountains on both sides. The Philistines are on one side. The Israelites are on the other side, the big valley in the middle. They're going to come down to the valley and fight. That's what their plan is. And so that's where they were. And David... that's where the battle took place, and David fought the Goliath. And so the mountains are on the sides. Now, his appearance. We saw in our quiz time that Goliath was a giant. He was a giant. He was about 2.97 meters tall, a very big man. I mean, he was huge. And his armor, the Bible says his armor was extremely heavy. When you convert it over into kilo, his armor was about 71 kilo, just his armor. And, I mean, it was heavy. And his spear's head, the head of his spear weighed 8.5 kilo. Just the head on the end of his spear. And his spear was like a weaver's beam. Big, long pole. It was big. It was heavy. It was not it was not the kind of thing that the average guy would carry. He'd be carrying around a spear like this. He couldn't even hardly get it. He just carries him because he was big and powerful. And when you think of the size of that, the giant size and the power and the strength, it's no wonder that the Israelites were afraid. And his challenge then, he mocked the people of Israel, verses 8 to 11. He'd come out and mock them every day, morning and evening. Verse number 16 says, and the Philistine drew near morning and evening and presented himself 40 days. So every morning, every evening, he would come out and mock them and say, hey, you Israelites, come on, send a guy out to fight me. If anybody comes out to fight me and kills me, we'll all be your servants. But if we kill you, then you're all our servants. Right? So every day he would come, and when they'd see him come out, the people of Israel ran for the tents. Here he comes again, run! Because they were terrified of him. He was huge. And it scared them to death. And, you know, giants threaten our peace. And, you know, we may face giants of worry. You know, worry about our financial burden, or worry about a wayward child, or a difficult exam. It may be a giant of anger that is fueled by a marriage struggle, or a family problem, or something else in our life. It may be a giant of bitterness over something that has happened to us, some kind of an abuse, or a lingering illness, or something else that's eating at us, and it's giving us a giant of bitterness that we're having a hard time conquering. It may be a giant of an addiction. You know, a lot of people have addictions. They just can't seem to get rid of a problem. Whether it be a substance abuse or some other kind of addiction. It may be intemperance, weakness of getting victory over temptations. You know, the devil tempts us. We sing that song, Stay Awake, Be Ready. The devil is after you. And that is true. The devil is after us. He's trying to get us and defeat us. And we face all these kind of giants that are around us. It may be a giant of selfishness. Maybe it's a giant of pride. Could be a giant of greed. There's all kinds of giants that we face. And just like David was about to face this huge giant, we have all these giants that come out to us and they laugh at us. Say, I got you. You can't defeat me. I've got a hold of you and I can get you to do what I want, because the giants were powerful in his day and the giants are powerful in our lives. And so we need to make sure we understand that the description of our giants. You know, you're never going to get a victory over a giant until you describe it and identify it. You know, until you say, I have a problem. You know, let's take it for example. Somebody that's addicted to alcohol. As long as they say, I'm not addicted to this, I can give it up anytime I want. I just don't want to give it up. You know, they just keep denying it, say, I'm not addicted, I'm not a drunk, I'm not. And they're never going to get victory. It's not until they say, I have a problem. I'm a drunk. I got to get rid of this bottle. It's not until then that they can ever start getting help, because they keep denying it. And it's the same thing true in every area of our life. Whatever the giant is in your life that is getting you down, wearing you out, working on your life, destroying your walk with God, until you're willing to say, this is a giant in my life that I've got to conquer. Until you identify it, you'll never have the victory over the giant. So you need to think about your life. You kids, you may be disobeying your parents. It's a giant. You just keep having trouble with that. You older ones, it may be your thoughts, or it may be something else. But whatever it is, you need to say, that's a giant that I've got to get victory over. Now, so that was the giant described. Next, let's look at the giant denounced. David arrives on the battlefield, verses 12 to 22. Alright, so he arrives on the battlefield, and he begins in verse number 12, and says, now David, the son of the Ephrathite of Bethlehem and Judah, whose name was Jesse, and he had 8 sons, and the man went among men for an old man in the days of Saul. So what that means is that David's dad was an old man now, and he had 8 boys. He had 8 boys. David's number 8. Alright? Eliab's number 1, David's number 8. David's the youngest of the bunch. And Jesse, his dad, tells him to go out to take some food to his brothers. Alright? And so he sends him on this errand, tells him he's supposed to take this food to his brothers. By this time, you know, as I calculated out, and it's really kind of hard to know for positive, but by calculating things out in the time, and we know that David was 30 when he became king. Alright? And so you put things together, he was probably about 23 years old at this time. That's my guess. It had been long enough since David played his harp in the king's palace that David had changed quite a bit. And by the time he comes to battle, King Saul said, who is that guy out there that just went and killed the Goliath? Who is he? Well, I mean, if he had just been in his palace last week, you'd think, well, I know who he is. He's that boy that plays the harp for me all the time. But he had changed quite a bit. Maybe he had matured, maybe grown a bigger beard. Maybe he had just become more muscular. I don't know what the situation was, but something had taken place in his life where he had matured to the point where Saul wasn't even sure who this guy was. He was just one of the brothers that was coming to see the battle. And so David had grown up. And David was to take food to his brothers. Now, it was interesting. Warren Wiersbe said, and I don't know where else to even dig to find out the verification of what he said, but he said, unlike modern armies, soldiers in ancient armies had to provide their own rations and help provide for others. So if that was the case, what it means is they had to take their own food. If you didn't bring your own rations, you got hungry. Now, why the king wouldn't feed him, I'm not sure, but maybe that was just the custom of the day. So anyway, it could be also, I mean, I always figured it was like a, and when we were in Bible college, sometimes mom would send box of cookies or something like that. She'd wrap them all up. That was when postage wasn't so terribly high. Now it costs more than the cookies. But so she'd send us a box of cookies. And we're in Bible college. Oh, you get a box of cookies. Whoa. We call it a care package, you know. We just try to hide it under the bed. Hopefully none of your roommates found it because, boy, this is full of treasures. And so it could have been that, too, that he just wanted, you know, something special for his brothers. I don't know. Either way, he was to take this to them. Now, David, we find, gets riled at the giant when he hears about this. Verse 23, David hears the giant. In verse 23, it says, And as he talked with them, behold, there came up the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, out of the armies of the Philistines, and he spake according to the same words, and David heard them. All right, so David hears Goliath come out there and says, hey, I challenge you to come out and fight me. If any of you could bring you one of your soldiers out to fight me and kill me, we'll be your servants. And if not, then you'll be all our servants. And he comes out and laughs at him and mocks him. And David sees that and hears that. And when David sees and hears that, he gets riled up inside. He didn't just ignore it. It bothered him inside. And David listened to the fearful soldiers. They were telling him all about it. Verse 24 says, and the men of Israel said, when they saw the man, they fled from before him. And they were sore afraid. And they told him all what was happening here. And he said in verse 25, and the men of Israel said, have ye seen this man that has come up? Surely, to defy Israel he has come up. And it shall be that the man who kills him, the king shall enrich him with great riches and give him his daughter and make his father's house free in Israel. So you get these three big treasures that were valuable treasures. To be the king's son-in-law, to be rich, to be free from taxes. He says, that's what's going to happen. So David starts asking questions and inquiring about this because he was upset to think that the Goliath would defy the nation of the soldiers of Israel. And David's brother Eliab, in verse number 28, he scolds David. Verse 28, and Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spake unto the men. And Eliab answered, anger was kindled against David and said, why camest thou down hither? And with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know thy pride and the naughtiness of thine heart, for thou art come down that thou mightest see the battle. All right, so Eliab, he's just chewing him out. Now, again, this is one of the reasons why I don't think David's brothers knew that David had been anointed king. I don't think they knew that. I don't even know if they understood what took place that day Samuel came. Because Eliab now, if he would have known David was anointed king, I think he would have been a little bit more careful than to chew him out like that. But he says, little brother, you're just coming down here to see the battle. Why don't you go back home and take care of the sheep? But notice David's response in verse 29. And David said, what have I done? Is there not a cause? What have I done? Is there not a cause? The word cause there refers to a word. He says, is there not a word? The idea is, it may be that he's asking a question and saying, you know, just was asking questions. Or he may have been saying, is there not a cause to say something? We shouldn't sit back and do nothing. And I think the way that the King James is translated is probably a pretty good way of doing it because he's just saying, there is a cause. There is a cause. We can't just sit back and ignore this. And David was riled by the giant. Now, God wants us to recognize the need to defeat our giants. You know, you might admit that you have a giant in your life. You may say, well, yeah, I hate to admit it, but I do have a giant there that I'm having a hard time getting rid of. All right? So you admitted it, but does it rile you to the point where you say, I've got to do something about it. I cannot ignore that giant anymore. He is defying me. He is cursing God. He's hurting my walk with God, and I'm not going to ignore it any longer. I'm going to deal with my giant. And that's exactly what David was doing here. He saw the need, and you'll never get victory until you get riled at the threat that the enemy is making on your Christian walk. You'll never get victory until you get riled up at the threat that the devil is making at your walk with God. And so we need to get riled up about it. And David got riled up. And David had denounced the giant boldly. The word denounce means to speak out against. And David spoke out against him. And in verse number 32, David said to Saul. So Saul heard that David was boasting that he would go against a giant. Saul calls him into his tent. And he says, "What's this I hear, son?" And David said to Saul, verse 32, "Let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight this Philistine." So here's David, a shepherd boy, in his shepherd garb. He doesn't even have any armor on. He doesn't have any helmet. He doesn't have any shield. He doesn't have any, none of that stuff. He's got his little slingshot in his pouch in his pocket. And he says, "I'll go fight the giant. I'll go fight him." Now again, he's not a little boy. You see all these pictures when it's got this, you know, 6-year-old boy out there with his little slingshot going like this. It's a great big huge. It wasn't that at all. He was a young man, but he was not a soldier. In the sense of a man who was out there, he trained in the military. His 3 older brothers, yes, but not David. David was a young boy. He was a shepherd boy. But David said, "I will go fight the Goliath." Now, why would David be able to do that? Remember, David was anointed by God. And when David was anointed by God, the Spirit of God came upon David. And God's Spirit was working in him, like he did in Samson. When Samson was riled at the Philistines and was able to kill them with his own bare hands because of his power that the Spirit of God gave him, God, the Holy Spirit, gave David power in his life to do great things that he couldn't do on his own. He could not defeat this giant in his own strength, but God gave him the strength to do it. And David volunteered to go against him. And then David recalls the past, verses 34 to 36. He talks about how he had defeated the bear and the lion. And again, this is something that a young man, you know, when a lion comes out to you in the field, even grown men feared the lions. In fact, one of David's men, later on you read, we'll read about it later on in David's life, but one of David's mighty men, he named off his 30 mighty men. I think it was one of the 30, maybe it was the next 30, but one of his mighty men was mighty because he killed a lion in a pit. Everybody was scared of lions. Lions were dangerous. You just don't mess with lions. But David had killed a lion with his bare hands or with a sling, but it says that he caught him by the beard and smote him. And he killed a bear. Now, how did David do that? Not by his own might. God gave him strength. God gave him ability. It wasn't that David was clever. It wasn't that David was just a fearless little lad that was out there taking care of his sheep. God had empowered him. And he says, "King Saul, just like God gave me victory over a lion and a bear, God will give me victory over this giant." And when Saul heard that, he thought, "Well, son, if God helped you kill a lion and a bear, I guess you can go ahead." All right? And so he sends him out, lets him attack, lets him go to battle for him. So he denounces the Philistine. And David exalts, though, the power of God. Look at verse number 37. This is very important. We see this. "And David said, 'Moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine.' And Saul said unto David, 'Go, and the Lord be with thee.'" See, he gave God the glory. He was not trying to pump up himself and said, "I am a great shepherd, babe. I can do it. I killed that lion of bear. I'm not afraid of that big old Goliath. I'll take it." No, he didn't do that. It was God that did it. God can do it. And you know, we've got to recognize that we need to recall the past victories. When God gives you a victory over sin or over a temptation or over a trial in your life, you need to think back on it and think, "Remember how God did that for me? Remember how God helped me through that difficult trial? Remember how God gave me victory over that problem? Remember how God solved this trouble for us?" Recall those things, and it'll give you strength and it'll encourage your heart to be able to face the giants that you are facing right now. And it'll be a great blessing to you. 1 John chapter 4 and verse number 4 says, "Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world." Remember that. When you're facing a giant, greater is he that is in you. The Spirit of God lives in you as a Christian. He is greater than any other foe you will ever face. And we need to remember that as we face the giants of our life. Now, so we saw, first of all, the giant was described. Second, we saw the giant was denounced. Third, we see the giant is defied. He's defied. David prepared for battle. David tried on Saul's armor, first of all. And verse number 38, Saul armed David with his armor. David pulls on all his armor. Now, this shows us another thing. David wasn't a little kid, you know. No grown man. Remember, Saul was head and shoulders above all the other people of Israel. So he was a tall man, taller than most everybody else. And it says that he gave him his armor. So David wasn't a little runt. That would have been silly to take off his big old armor and say, "All right, here, you little kid, put this on." That would have been dumb. All right, he was a man, but he tried on his armor and he said, I can't really move in this stuff. I'm not used to this stuff. I'm not trained in this. I'm used to using my slingshot. King, take your armor. I'll be okay. God will protect me. So he goes out to battle with no armor at all. No, none of the other soldiers that were fully equipped with helmet and shield and the breastplate and the greaves on their legs and the spear and their sword, they were scared. The giant would come up, they'd run. But David said, I don't need any of that stuff. I got my sling and I've got God. That's all I need. And he went out with no protection whatsoever and trusted God. And he chose those familiar weapons. You know, the familiar weapons. I like to think of it this way, and maybe I'm just imagining things, but I think that in our life, the familiar weapon that we need to have, to be very familiar with, is right here. This is to be our familiar weapon. This is our sling. And if we are familiar with the Word of God, and with the Word of God and God on our side, we can defeat our giant. Doesn't matter what your giant is. If you're familiar with the Word of God, and you use the Word of God and trust God, God can help you defeat your giant. And so the Bible is like our familiar weapon, that which we can use. The Bible talks about the Bible being our sword, but you know the Bible could also be our sling that is used of God to defeat our enemies. And so he put Saul's armor off and just kept his sling and went to battle. And in verse number 41 to 44, we see Goliath sees him coming. All right. Verse number 44 and 41, the Philistine came down and drew near and unto David, and the man that bare his shield went before him. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him. That means he said, what? This kid come out? For he was a youth and ruddy and fair of countenance. All right, so he comes down and says, what are you doing? You big cowards. You can just hear him up there on you big cowards up there, you sent a little kid out to do your fighting with a slingshot. Come on, guys. Where's your brave men? And he's mocking them and calling them names and cursing them by his God and laughing at them. Verse number 43, it says, and the Philistines said unto David, am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves, your stick? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistines said to David, come to me, and I will give your flesh to the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the field. And then said David to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword and a spear and a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee and take thine head from thee, and I will give thy carcass to the host of the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day, and to the hands of into the fowls of the air, and to the wild beasts of the earth, and all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. Now, what did David say? He says, you come to me, and I'll take off your head, and we'll take off the heads of your soldiers, and we're going to leave you to the beasts of the fields and the birds of the air to devour out here in the field. Now, that was the most despicable thing you could have. You know, in those days, one of the worst things that could happen to you is not to be buried and to be left out in the field for the animals to eat. Now, that's pretty gross and disgusting, and that's pretty bad today, too. But that was the worst thing that could happen to you as a soldier or as a person, to not be buried and to be left out in that despicable situation. And that's what David said was going to happen when he came to him. So the Goliath cursed David and laughed at him, threatened him. And from a human perspective, you know, David didn't have a chance. From a human perspective. Here's this young man, says he was just ruddy. He was a young man, still had his youthfulness about him, but he wasn't a big soldier, had no armor, no helmet, totally looks like this kid's not even the least bit prepared. From a human perspective, against that gigantic giant that was twice his height, he had no chance at all from a human perspective. And you know, as you look at the giants in your life, you may think, you know, I am never going to defeat this giant. It is huge. It keeps getting me down. It keeps defeating me. I can't get victory over it. And we need to remember, the devil desires to devour us. Remember 1 Peter 5:8-9, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil as a roaring lion walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. So God is telling us the devil is out there to get us. He wants to destroy us. And so David, He defies Goliath. He says, I'm not afraid of you. He the word defy means to resist, to confront. And he went out there to confront or challenge him. And he said, I defy you in the name of the Lord. Verse number 45. Verse 45, he says, but I come unto thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel. So he says, I'm coming to you in the name of the Lord. Verse number 46, he says, I want everybody to know that God is great. Verse 46, this day will the Lord deliver thee into my hand, and I will smite thee and take thine head from thee, and I will give thy carcass unto the host of the Philistines, and so on. So he says, I want everybody to know that. That's what's going to happen. And God's going to be great in God's power. And verse number 47, David declared that the glory, the battle was the Lord's. Verse 47, and all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. See, David wasn't out there saying, I'm great. I'll show you guys. Big brother, I'll go out there and beat that guy. You watch. David wasn't like that at all. He said, I've got a great God. I've got a mighty God. A God that is able to give me victory. And I will defeat the enemies because God is great. And I want everybody to know my God is great. He's the God of Israel. He will defeat the enemies. And you know, that's the thing that's going to give us victory. When we realize my God is great. And my God can give me victory over that temptation. My God can give me victory over that problem in my life. My God can give me victory over bitterness or whatever the problem is. God can give us victory. And it's important for us to notice David's attitude, his dependence, and his motive. His attitude was, I can't, God can. His dependence was, God is going to give me the victory. And his motive was, I'm going to give God all the glory. I want everybody to know that we've got a great God. And if we will have those same three things, the attitude of David, the dependence of David, and the motive of David, God will give us victory. God will give us victory. Now, the giant defeated. Right? We've seen so far the giant described and the giant denounced, the giant defied, and now the giant defeated. The giant defeated. David ran toward him. Verse number 48. Verse 48, and it came to pass when the Philistine rose and came and drew nigh to meet David, that David hasted and ran toward the army of the Philistine. All right? Now, you know, I can just picture me out there, you know? I'm out there in David's place. And I'm thinking, what am I doing? Sweat running off your hands, thinking, hope I didn't make a mistake here. That guy's big. What am I going to do? Now, David faced him calm and cool. And he ran toward him. He ran out there to face him. He didn't wait for the Philistine to come and say, I think he's close enough. He ran toward him. Just like he would if it was a lion or a bear taking after a sheep. He ran after that. He wasn't going to wait until they came close enough to see. He ran toward them and he got close to the Philistine. And he slung his sling. Now the slingshot in those days wasn't the rubber kind. You pull back and go, ping. No, it was a two pieces of leather with a flat pouch on it. Two strings in a flat pouch, and one of the pouches they either held tightly in their hand or put it around the wrist so it couldn't get loose. And the other one they'd hold in their hand, so then the stone would be in that, and it was long enough so that they would swing it, and they would swing it real hard, and as they did, they knew exactly when to let go, and when they let go, the one that was hanging on the wrist would stay there, but the other one would let loose, and the stone would fly. And David took this stone, and he had been practicing. He practiced for hours as a shepherd boy. You got nothing else to do out there in the wilderness watching your sheep. So he'd practice and practice. You know, the Bible says that some of the soldiers in those days could shoot with a sling and hit a hair's breadth. I mean, that's pretty close. A hair. I mean, I don't know if they were literal where you'd, all right, hit that. You know, I mean, that's a pretty good shot with a sling. But David was practiced up. He was good. And he took his sling and he went out after him. He ran after him. And he slung his sling. In verse 49 it says, and David put his hand in his bag, took thence a stone and slung it and smote the Philistine in his forehead. And the stone sunk into his forehead and he fell upon his face to the earth. Sunk into his forehead. Hit him right there in the forehead. Now why did he shoot him in his forehead? Why didn't he shoot him in the heart? Well, he had armor there. He couldn't shoot him in the shoulders. There was armor there. He had a helmet. He couldn't shoot him in the head because he had a helmet of brass. He couldn't shoot him in the legs because he had brass. He was covered with armor. The only place it wasn't covered was right there, just below his helmet, right there before his eyes. He had helmet, you know, a lot of times they even had it up on their cheeks, your helmets. So he had a little spot right here. David hit that one spot. right to that one spot, hit him between the head, sunk into his head, and he falls down. This great big huge giant comes tumbling to the ground. Now David has no weapons in his hand. So David runs up to him, jumps on top of the guy, reaches down, pulls out his sword out of his sheath, off with his head. All right, took his head off. And then David picks up his head and shows the Philistines, and they took off running. They took off running. Our champion's dead. They took off running. David took the head back to Saul. Kind of a gory thing to do, but anyway. The giant was dead. David killed the giant with his own sword. Now, the giant may have died with the stone in his head. I don't know, but David finished him off, so he didn't wait for that to happen. He was merciful to him. All right. Now, David was given victory because he depended on the Lord. And you know, the giants that are facing your life, God can give you victory if you depend upon the Lord. You're not going to get the victory in yourself, but you can get victory through the Lord. If you'll depend on the Lord. Depend on the Lord, God can give us the victory. It was a great day of victory, and this great day of victory encouraged the other soldiers. When that happened, as soon as it happened and all the Israelites saw that Goliath was dead, they grabbed their weapons and said, "Let's go get him, guys!" And they all took off running after the Philistines, and they chased him. And the Bible says they chased him onto Ekron and Ashdod. I think it was Ashdod and Ekron, over in here. They chased them way over, chased them all home. And they're chasing them until they got to their cities, and they're killing them along the way. They wiped out the Philistines, had a great battle slaughter that day, because God blessed them, and they came back and they spoiled the tents of the Philistines. All right, the Philistines didn't have time to gather up the things and run. They just ran. I mean, when you're running for your life, you don't worry about all the possessions you have. You just drop everything and run. And so they left everything. All their tents were full of money and their weapons and their food. And all the Israelites came back and said, "Thank you very much. It's ours now." And they helped themselves to all that stuff. So God gave them a great victory. Now, the thing we need to focus on here this evening as we finish up here tonight is this. In the same way that God gave David victory, you can have victory in your life. You cannot defeat the worry and anger and bitterness and addictions and intemperance and selfishness and greed and pride and all the other giants in your life in your own strength. You'll never do it. And maybe you have tried and tried and tried and tried and said, "I got to get victory over this. This is wrong. I should not be doing this. And I'm going to stop doing it." And you say, I'm not going to do it anymore. And you fall right back on your face again. You're back in your trap again. The devil's after you. The devil knows how to defeat us. These are giants in our life. How are we going to get the victory? First of all, we get the victory just like David did. Identify the enemy. Identify the giant. Call it by its name. And stop denying that it's a giant in your life. Number two, denounce the giant. Get riled at that and say, I am angry that this thing is causing me grief and it's wrecking my Christian life and it's hurting me in my walk with God and it's keeping me from being what God wants me to be. I don't want this giant controlling me anymore. We get upset with the giant. And denounce the giant. Number three, defy the giant. Just say, I'm going to resist him. I'm going to trust God. David said, "My God is great. God will give us the victory. God will help us. I'm not going to let that guy defy Israel. I'm going to destroy him with the power of God today." And he trusted God. And then we need to get out there and defeat the devil. Defeat those enemies, those giants in our lives. Depend on the Lord's strength. Depend on the Lord. The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 15:57, "But thanks be to God which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." There's victory through Christ. There really is. 1 Corinthians 10:13, "There is no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted above that you are able, but with the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it." God says there's victory in Christ. We can have victory. "In what time I am afraid, I'll trust in thee." Psalm 56:3, remember those verses. And when the giants are all there trying to defeat you, say, "God, you got to help me because I can't do it myself, God." And depend on God and yield to God and humble yourself before God and say, "God, I will depend on you. Please, God, give me victory over this giant in my life." Now tonight, I don't know what your giants are, but you know. It may be a giant of fear. It may be a giant of worry. It may be a giant of bitterness. It may be a giant of lust. It may be a giant of addiction of some sort. I don't know what that giant is in your life, but all of us have giants that are attacking us all the time, threatening us, mocking us, threatening to destroy our walk with God. And whatever that giant is in your life, you need to face it just like David did. And say, I know there's a giant. I'm not going to let that giant rule me anymore. By God's grace, I'm going to trust God, and we're going to defeat that giant. And then with God's help, to say, God, you got to help me. We're not going to do this anymore. We're going to give victory over that giant. It may mean that we need to confess some sin. It may mean that we need to just totally depend on God. It may mean that we need to just get rid of some stuff that is hindering our life. Maybe it's some things you have that you just know every time you go near that thing, it gives you trouble. Whatever you have to do whatever you have to do in the power of God to get victory over that and not let that giant control you any longer. It's up to you. You can defeat the giant, or the giant can defeat you.